I'm speaking today with Gordon Kwan, who is a Democratic candidate for county judge in Harris County. Gordon, we spoke about your race initially back to the March primary, so let me ask again for someone who may not have listened to that interview, why are you running for the office of county judge?
Well, Charles, I think we have a lot of challenges at the county. It's amazing, you know, as I've studied the issues, there are more and more problems. As you may see, even with simple things such as the courthouse construction, just to get into the county criminal justice building is now taking 20 or 30 minutes, plus the elevator system is so backed up. I've been there, and I just thought maybe that was an apparition that day, but it seems like this is normal business, just to get to the courthouse to get justice. And then to see about the family courts, how that building is so old, and apparently there's potential contamination that judges are getting cancer just being judges there. I don't know if you've seen that. And the problems continue to mount with the jails. Now the sheriff's deputies are suing the sheriff because they're having to work overtime. There's 400 vacancies. I mean, the problems seem to be endemic and getting worse as we go along. So I ran initially because I just thought there were problems with the criminal justice system in general, dealing with how we treat people as prisoners. I think the problems seem to be spreading more and more.
Okay. Give me a brief update on your campaign since we last spoke.
Well, you know, I decided to run a real grassroots campaign. I did not want to be owing to anybody. You know, and it's kind of, you may think it's somewhat weird that I'm not going out for the big donors, the downtown people who are kind of, I feel, more insiders. But I want to be an independent judge or county administrator that just looks out for the best interests of the people. So to that extent, I feel like the campaign's going well. We just got endorsed by Christians for Good Government today. And you know, I was at this LULAC breakfast this morning, actually Fiesta Patris, I'm sorry, and I knew everybody there. I mean, and people were so warm. They said, "You don't have to give me your card, Mr. Kwan. We're voting for you already. We know you. We know who you are as a person." And so just reaching out to community groups, I think the coordinated campaign is going to do a great job in getting base voters out. I look to the Asian community as a swing community. We'll be reaching them on a personal basis out at shopping malls and churches and temples, places where they congregate. We want to bring them on board to the Democratic ticket.
Okay. You know, the big news all across the country, of course, is budget issues, you know, revenue shortfalls, making cutbacks and whatnot. What is your assessment of the state of Harris County's finances today?
You know, Harris County has a different system than some other government entities. What I mean by that is we have a budget office with Dick Raycraft heading up that budget office, and he's been a really pretty solid guy, as I've seen it, in working on the budget. It's not in as bad a fiscal shape as other places, but the problems I see is that we need to really address this jail issue and what we how we treat persons charged with offenses. It's been said that 6,700 cases deal with trespass. 6,100 cases deal with...
Is that per year you're talking about?
Right now, pending.
Okay.
Out of the 87,000 cases we have, another 6,000 deal with administrative, what do we call that, interference, when a person doesn't do what an officer tells them to do. That's 12,000 cases of people who we're putting in jail who are fairly minor offenses that we could ticket or we could look to other avenues besides just jail. I think that there are smarter ways we can handle some of the issues we have. Pre-trial relief services, it's been said that 60% of the people who we have arrested have not been convicted. They're just waiting for a hearing. And just listening to judges talk about the situation, we're only bonding out 2.2% of the people on these felony cases compared to a national average of more than 10%. So people are pleading, making pleas because they just want to get out of jail to support their families as opposed to spending time in jail waiting for a trial. I think there's a lot of things that could be done to address this concern and therefore free money up to run the system in a more efficient manner.
Well, you can't talk about the criminal justice system in Harris County without talking about mental health.
Yes.
It has been said, if you will, that the Harris County Jail is essentially the biggest mental health hospital in the state. Now, of course, a lot of funds that come for that, a lot of that is tied up in funding and other laws at the state level. And with the state's budget crisis, people are anticipating or fearing perhaps big cutbacks in funding that goes towards mental health services. How is the county going to deal with that?
Well, I think that we have to look at a whole variety of funding sources. For instance, I've been working with the Coalition for the Homeless for the last, I think, 10 years, just about, and looking at how do we address the homeless population, of which 35% are either physically or mentally incapable of surviving on their own. 55% need mental services, or they need job training to be independent. That's 90% of the population. 10% can go to shelters and short-term care. I say that because HUD has been looking at these issues as well. Right now, we, the City of Houston and Harris County, got an additional $3 million in the state last time for supportive services. HUD will match monies that we get from the state to provide long-term housing. Working on providing alternative facilities is the key thing. These people don't necessarily belong in jail. They need to be in a secure environment where they can receive medication, where they can receive training and supportive services. The state is looking, I mean, not the state, but the federal government is looking at this, and we do have some state funds that are separate and apart that we're trying to maintain. Secondly, or thirdly, there's a new act, the HEARTH Act. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But if we work in a coordinated and collaborative effort, we can increase the money that comes to Harris County from $20 million a year to approximately $35 million a year to address homeless and persons with mental health conditions. So we have a great opportunity, Charles, to really make substantial strides. I've been pleased, actually, in the years that I've been working on this homeless issue, that we begin to see numbers going down. But the emphasis, unfortunately, has also increased with families who are living paycheck to paycheck because of the economy going down as well.
Harris County was recently awarded a $4 million grant from the state's Task Force on Indigent Defense to create a public defender's office. What is your evaluation of this proposal, or development, this grant, and what ultimately would you like to see become of it?
I'm encouraged by it. I've met with Commissioner L. Franco Lee, who chairs the Committee on Criminal Justice Reform. It's the beginning. They're just now going to be hiring the chief of that office. I'd like to see more and more participation and growth in this area. I feel like there has been a kind of a private public defender system as it is. As you know, the judges get to appoint attorneys at county expense. I feel that taking the judges out of that process and making it more an independent department would serve to provide a better quality of representation. You know, one of the things that the state looked at was the fact that some attorneys were being appointed in like 400, 500 cases a year. I mean, it was unbelievable how much money they were making off the county. And, you know, I'll tell you, as an attorney who does pretty heavy volume of work, you can't do quality work at that number of cases. So I think that with developing the public defender's office, working caseloads in a more reasonable manner, I think the quality of care for indigents will improve tremendously.
And, you know, when you start talking about the criminal justice system, you quickly get tied up in the debate over immigration. The county jail, the sheriff, uses
287G.
Right, as a way of determining the immigration status of offenders. Immigration activists complain, first of all, that 287G isn't effective, and also that it doesn't differentiate between violent criminals that everyone would want shipped home and, you know, nonviolent people who are at risk of being separated from their families. What is your critique or your opinion of the 287G program?
With all due respect to Sheriff Garcia, who I think is doing a good job, I think that program has now become obsolete. I say it's become obsolete because ICE has recently issued a memorandum that they're not going to deport anybody who doesn't have a major criminal offense. And so for the county to be screening these people and separating them out just is a waste of time now, because the service realizes they do not have the facilities nor the administrative system to actually remove these individuals. So we're adding another $1 million in costs that the county's looking at when, in fact, the service is not doing anything with these individuals. So, you know, I've been more of an advocate for the Secure Communities program that just does the fingerprinting, and then if a criminal record shows up that the service wants to really take control of a person and house them and prosecute them, give them over there. But if it's not, if it's an offense that doesn't, they're simply out of status, they're simply undocumented at this point, they're not going to do anything with them. I don't know what the county should be doing with them.
Okay. You mentioned a lawsuit that was filed by the deputies. That's today as we speak. But, you know, the president of the deputies union said that his beef was really with commissioner's court because it's an issue of the hiring freeze that is preventing the sheriff from filling these vacancies. As it happens, County Judge Emmett has also spoken out against that hiring freeze. What can the county judge do, given that the current judge, you know, wants to get rid of it? What can the county judge do to get some action on that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, if you only have so many dollars, you got to prioritize how you spend those dollars. And if you're spending most of the dollars and sending people to Jasper and Louisiana to house them, we're spending $20 million to Jasper and $3 million to Louisiana, those are dollars that could have been used to hire more deputies. What I would say is that we need to look at fundamentally, again, pretrial release programs, alternatives. What, you know, the state law was changed so we can give tickets to people as opposed to having to arrest them for minor offenses. And I mentioned to you about the trespassing and this administrative interference. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's such a euphemism that I wasn't always familiar with it. You know, how do we run a system in a smarter manner? How do we really concentrate on the greater needs so that we put the money that way? I was talking to an assistant district attorney and talking about the mental health docket, that if the person is going under mental health, it's costing them like $250 a day for confinement and treatment in the jails. That if we had a mobile van that could just provide meds for some of these people, it would save substantial amounts of money. So it's a reprogramming of dollars, I think, is what I would say. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, hire more deputies, but I have no money to pay them. But so it's like, okay, we got to like reprioritize where the monies are going in order to make this a priority, if that's what you feel is a priority.
Okay. Let's shift away from criminal justice for a minute. As you know, recently, the county clerk suffered a bit of a setback where the warehouse that housed all of the county's electronic voting equipment was destroyed in a fire. Now, from what I've seen, there seems to be a decent recovery plan going forward. All the precincts can be open, so on and so forth. I guess the two things that have struck me about this is, one, why was everything in one warehouse? And two, it seemed like we were making up the recovery plan as we went along. Did we not have a disaster recovery plan for this sort of thing? And why not, if we didn't?
I know no disaster recovery plan in place prior to this happening. I think we were all shocked when we saw, $30 million worth of voting machines go up in smoke, plus a $10 million warehouse. Let me just say, I've known Beverly Kaufman over the years, and I think that she's a very good public servant. Things like that, I don't know if I can, like, criticize her, per se. I think it was a shock to everyone. From all the studies I've done, the county is seeking to really hold a fair election. I'm happy, though, that a letter has gone into the Justice Department to make sure that there's monitoring. My understanding is that the Democratic Party has made several overtures to increase the number of facilities. I mean, they're asking for 16 more voting locations, early voting locations, 8 that the Democrats would designate, 8 that the Republicans would designate, to see if we can get as much done during early voting so that we don't have crowds during the regular election day because the lack of the machines. I'd like to believe there's a good faith effort made by all parties to address a disaster that could not have been anticipated.
I mean, now that we've had the disaster and we know that it can happen, do you believe that there will be a more comprehensive review at a countywide level, to ensure that, other things, have some sort of disaster recovery plan in place in the event of a similar happening?
You would hope.
would you insist on that as county judge?
I think we've learned not to put all our machines in one basket at this point in time.
I mean, I'm not just talking about voting machines, but I mean, the county has servers with data on it and stuff like that. I mean, where do we stand with that, and do you want to see a review done?
I certainly want to see a review done. I know that with Hurricane Ike and before that, Tropical Storm Allison, we all woke up and said, look, we're putting generators underground. I mean, that's pretty stupid. I mean, if there's flooding, I mean, there's the medical center. When we were rebuilding the city downtown Houston, FEMA said, look, we can't let you repeat errors in the past. I think you're right. We started storing data in alternative locations so that we would have backup plans. So I would want to do a review of that to make sure that in the future we don't get caught in a similar situation, yes.
County Judge Emmett has proposed creating a appointed elections administrator who would take over mostly election-related work that currently exists in the tax assessor, which handles voter registration, and in the county clerk's office, which actually administers the elections. What is your opinion of this?
I know it's worked in other jurisdictions. I want to study it more, but I'm a bit leery about appointing someone to oversee the elections. As you know, we've had a lot of controversy about people getting kicked off the voting rolls here in Harris County. We've had suits brought against the voter registrar because of that. I want to make sure that we have a system where the voters do have a voice in who oversees these elections. I'm not convinced that that's the way to go at this point in time.
There will be a referendum on the ballot for the city of Houston to create a dedicated fund to handle drainage improvements and infrastructure. If you speak to Councilman Stephen Costello, who was the driving force behind this, he will tell you that this is limited to the city of Houston. And I guess my question is, does Harris County need something like that, or are there funding mechanisms for drainage adequate as they stand now?
Well, the flood control district, as you know, is a county function, and I think we've made substantial improvements with that, and I feel like Harris County seems to be in good shape regarding that situation. I know, having worked on city council previously, that we were trying to get our drainage in place back then, and it was dubbed a rain tax and went down to defeat. The city has been somewhat behind in really addressing a lot of its drainage issues. The flood control district, I think, working with the Corps of Engineers, has looked at the different floodplains within Harris County, and I think we're in pretty good shape, personally.
Okay. We are, as we speak, in the height of hurricane season. What is your assessment of the county's state of hurricane preparedness?
Well, emergency management is on duty, 24/7. I mean, it's not just during the hurricane. What I feel is that there was a study done after Hurricane Ike as to lessons that we could learn. One of my concerns has been, because of the diversity of the county, being able to reach out through a network to English language challenged communities to make sure that we have a system in place that reaches them either through radio, TV, community leaders who can go out to, whether it be the Vietnamese community or the Hispanic community or these other communities, where oftentimes they don't necessarily get all their news from the mainstream media. Secondly, I think it's interesting that technology is coming along. I think you're a Rice grad, that the professor there had developed a system where you could put your address on the computer and find out what the probability is of wind damage to your home. And I'd like to see how we can use more technology to help people find solutions in a catastrophe like that. An application I thought would be interesting would be, you can put in Starbucks on your apps to find out where the nearest Starbucks is. Well, if we could have a system where you could find out the nearest shelter to your place, and if you're looking for, if you can't stay in your home, where you go. I don't know that the county is at that stage yet, but those are some things that I would want to do as a county judge to make sure that we use technology more and reach out to different communities that have in the past not had a good network of support.
The Transportation Policy Council on HGAC recently kind of scaled back its vision for transportation projects over the next 25 years, citing lack of resources. As I recall, seeing some previous iterations of this, their vision is kind of grand, so it's scaling it back doesn't may or may not mean all that much to the average person, but what is your, what's your assessment of the county's transportation needs and its ability to fund them in the coming decades?
Charles, honestly, it's a study has shown that 80% of the people in Harris County live in 30 different areas, like the Galleria or like downtown or Greens Point. And what I'd like to actually see, instead of trying to build more freeways and roads, how do we look at developing more pocket communities where transportation can flow more easily within that, or their walking areas, so that people can, you know, go to the grocery store either on foot or on bicycle, or their short trips. And each of these areas basically have been looking at developing their own transportation models. So as opposed to this grand model of building more toll roads out to the suburbs or freeways out to vacant land, I would want to see how we can work collaboratively with these areas on plans that they have. The West Chase area, I know, has been working on a plan for how to get transportation in that area. There's been a lot of talk for a long time in the Galleria area how we can do better transportation systems. That's where I think the citizens are concerned. It's not the major big thoroughfares and these large grand parkways, but just in their neighborhoods. How do we do that more efficiently is what I'm looking at.
What role does commuter rail play in this?
You know, I'm very supportive of commuter rail. I was at a conference that we had here in Houston where we brought in people from San Diego, from Miami, from Denver, other major cities that have looked to more commuter rail. I want to see how we can get federal funding that would help make that work. I can't say it. I'm supportive. I haven't seen a plan totally that I feel the federal government has endorsed at this point. But I would like to certainly work on commuter rail.
Okay. One of the offices that's up for election this year is county treasurer. In 2006, one of the candidates for county treasurer, the Democratic candidate Richard Garcia, ran on a platform of abolishing the county treasurer's office on the ground that it doesn't do anything and you could save money by, you know, getting rid of the elected position and moving some of the employees into other departments. To do that would, of course, require legislative action, but would require also the support of Harris County, you know, the Commissioner's Court. If the next treasurer decides that maybe it's time to look at the possibility of abolishing that office, where would you stand on that?
I'd like to see all the facts about it. I noticed that the treasurer this year overspent their budget, and so they're doing something. I don't know what they're doing totally, but I think that it's commendable if we can find a way to minimize government. You know, there's always this knock about Democrats, you know, tax and spend, grow government, and I think that the fact that Richard looked at, well, let's shrink government. Let's see how we can do things efficiently without having to spend the money. If we can do that and it works well for our citizens, I think that's great. You know, the county system of government was established way back when Texas was just established. And they have like commissioner's court. People don't even know, what is commissioner's court? Why is it county judge? And you're the judge of what court? You know, so what I guess I'm getting at is things were established over 100 years ago, and sometimes you have to reassess how effective are they in today's world. And if, you know, Billy Briscoe and comes to the conclusion that we can do a lot of things without having a county treasurer, I would be supportive of that.
Okay. And, you know, when people go to vote in this election, why should they vote for you for county judge?
Well, you know, the county judge position, I think, is something that a lot of people don't understand. It's not the mayor of the county, but a member of a collaborative body, one of five votes, that looks at the county budget and the administration of the county. I think they want somebody that they know they can trust who has their interests at heart. That's one of the reasons I've tried to run a campaign where I don't depend upon big contractors and engineering companies who do business with the county to support me. But instead, my donations are from the average business owner, you know, whether it be $5 or $20 or $100, so that I can look at what I think is the best interest of the county. I'm a businessman as well as an attorney. I took a one-man office to making it now one of the largest immigration firms in the country, maybe the world for that matter. So what I'm saying is that, you know, to administer a budget of $1.5 billion, you need somebody who has a business background, who has looked at budgets as well as who has the interest of the individuals at heart. And I think that that's what I bring to the table.
All right. Gordon Kwan, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Charles, thank you.